If you are a businesswoman working to amplify your 6- and 7-figure business from success to significance, then you know it's not just about the right strategies or the right tactics. It's more and more about high caliber people around you, your team, your collaborators, and advisors that can open doors for you and widen your reach. Welcome to Your Circle of Influence podcast with your hosts, Dr. Monica Ogando and Amy Walker.
Welcome back to Your Circle of Influence podcast. We have got another great episode for you today. I'm your co-host, Amy Walker.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Monica Ogando.
And we're going deep today. We are going to be talking about success blockers and what to do about them. And as we're teaching you the principle, we are also willing to pull off our stinky socks and wave them in front of you and share with you what some of ours have been. So success blockers are those things that repeatedly get in your way. And that if you are not aware of, mindful of, and strategizing around, they really do block your success and keep you from having everything that you're capable of having and reaching your potential. Mm-hmm. So my first success blocker that I ever realized, I didn't even know I had it. I didn't have a name to it. I didn't have a voice to it. I just knew that I had this pattern that would show up. And the pattern was I would work really hard and then I would stop working and I would like disappear from my business. And I couldn't figure out why this was. Mm-hmm. It felt so crappy. It felt so out of integrity. And I kept beating myself up about it. And then one night I was talking with my uncle. And I love my family. I have great aunts and uncles. They're wonderful people. However, he said this line out loud and I was like, oh, this is my success blocker and it's not actually mine. This is a generational false belief. And what he said was, because we were talking about my business and I think I was expressing that I was feeling guilty about, you know, missing things with my kids and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, Amy, it's okay for you to work to get by. If your family needs it for you to get by, that's okay. It's just not okay for you to work to get ahead. And I was like, well, there's a broken belief. That is a success blocker. Because if you believe that to be true, you will never ever achieve success because it's not okay for you to work to achieve success. Mm-hmm. It is only okay for you to work to scrape by and get survival. And so I recognize that as this is a success blocker. And then I had to reframe it and I had to recreate the conversation and say, well, what is the truth behind that lie? The truth is that motherhood is, for me, it's divine. It's the most important thing that I'll do. And it is a huge priority. Mm-hmm. So the other new truths that I get to develop is that I can be an amazing mother and be successful, that I can hold on to commitments to both at the same time. It's not a one or the other.
Yeah.
The other truth that I get to believe and embrace is that if God wants me on this path of building business, he doesn't want me on it just to struggle, right? Like he wants me here to be successful. Mm-hmm. That is the alignment of the faith principle. So that's kind of the backstory of where this episode came from, is we want you guys to listen along and look for what are those things that block your success. You might not be able to state them and claim them right now as clearly as Monica and I are going to do. And you might be like, oh girl, I know what they are. I'll give you my list. Okay. Wherever you're at in the journey, it's okay. Yeah. Investigating this, being curious about it is going to teach you a lot and it's going to open up the flow of success and make it easier.
Yeah. I love what you're sharing here, Amy, because the generational piece is sometimes the ones where we cannot articulate because they're just in the water. They're just how we were raised. It's a given in our family of origin, et cetera. One of those for me is that visibility is dangerous. If you're too visible, you can get robbed, mugged, kidnapped, taken for ransom, I mean, those things happen in Caribbean and in other countries, and I mean all over the world really, but it was caked into the caution that my family of origin would have around money. And so, no, we don't flaunt our money. No, we don't flaunt our success. No, we don't, like, we have it. But one of the things that I've been proud of saying is I would rather have money than show money. So I'm like the anti-flosser. And I don't floss for the gram, you know, with a rent on a rented yacht and whatever. And so, but the way that that's a success blocker is because how would someone who doesn't know you but need you know that you exist? Unless you were visible. And so that's been a success blocker that I've had to work through. And I can't say that I'm all the way on the other side of it, but I am definitely better.
Okay, we'll trade off success blockers. So, one success blocker for me has definitely been the family story, and having one foot on the gas and one foot on the brakes for many, many years of my career. That, like, I want growth, I want it to go fast, but I don't want it to go too fast because I don't want to lose touch with my kids, and I don't want to get overwhelmed, and I don't want to look back and have regrets, and I don't want to, sacrifice the strength of my marriage in pursuit of success. And so I literally have had, for many, many years, one foot on the gas and one foot on the brakes. And it's pretty exhausting to run your business that way. It really is. So again, what I do is I look for what's the truth and what's the lie and what are the new truths I want to create. So with that one, the new truth that I've had to embrace is that success is easier when it comes fast. Because it comes with more support, more resources, more people, more money. So success is easier when it comes fast. And the root truth of that is my commitment is what creates my results. So it's I'm not gonna just like I'm not gonna circumstantially wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm a murderer today, right? Didn't see that one coming. I'm not gonna wake up one day and be like, oh, I totally lost sight of my family and missed everything important. And I'm a lonely old hag of a lady who has no one because I burned all my bridges.
Oh
It
boy.
doesn't happen that way. So if every day I wake up and I'm like, how am I gonna love and serve my family today? Then we're not gonna get too far off course. I'll have better moments and better seasons than others, but it's that daily affirmation of what am I doing here today that makes me feel like I can grow fast and not worry about losing the things that matter most.
Mache. I love that. Yeah. That's good stuff. For me, one of the ones that I am definitely on the other side of, but I am very conscious of when it happens, is code switching. This happens in a lot of intersectional circles. And for people of the global majority, I do not call us minorities, we're never a minority. People of the global majority sometimes have developed a survival mechanism that says you speak this way when you're in front of your people, when you're comfortable, when it's a safe space, when these are familiar, connected, intimate connections with folks that you feel comfortable with. And then you speak this way with white folks. And so you switch the code. And as I've gotten older, as I've gotten richer, as I've gotten more secure in myself, and as I've understood some of these cultural nuances, I've stopped code switching because I want people to be aware when they are not considered a safe space and have it not be my problem. So there's because we do this in relationships. There is a way that you talk to people that you don't know, that you talk to strangers. There is a way that you talk to people that you're in intimate relationships with. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the cultural ways in which we keep each other disconnected. And one of those is that code switching that we as a society have imputed that this is the way that it to be professional. This is correct English. This is the way that you speak in a professional setting or to get the sale or et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't make room for diversity in culture, diversity in linguistics, diversity in just energy patterns and the ways that humans connect with one another. And so when you stop that code switching, you immediately create visibility around those nuances and those differences and allow people to be educated if they're so interested. But it's not my free labor to educate people and how they've denied other people's humanity in the world.
I will just say that I appreciate when people don't code switch with me because I feel like we're getting more real. I'm
Yeah.
like, oh, we're having a real conversation.
Right.
And it is it's a indicator of a certain level of like trust. Like I feel like I've earned that.
Yeah.
I've earned that level of trust. So for other people who are struggling with that, what would be your advice? Like, how do they cross the barrier? Because I would have no idea how to give that advice.
Yeah. So one is that there are certain conversations that you can only have with kinfolk, right? There are some people that are not a space for you to have that conversation, for you to explore it, et cetera, et cetera. You happen to be one of the friends that I have that are white that I can have those conversations with. There are other friends that I love to death that are amazing, that are white, that they're not self-aware enough to see that this is a white people problem. This is, like the victim who contorts themselves to survive toxicity isn't the one with the problem. And so to be able to have that conversation and not take it personally or not get defensive or not get insulted or not justify it or not, seek false equivalences, et cetera, you need to know who those people are that you can have those conversations with. And don't try to convert or convince someone else who doesn't have that level of self-awareness or safety to be that safe space for you. It's just not going to go well. So that's the first advice that I would have. And then the second advice is that sometimes the way that I did started not code switching was just I just made a decision to do that in what felt safe. I had a certain level of power and authority in that conversation, and I flexed my muscle a little bit and eventually flexed it again and eventually flexed it again to the point where it's like I don't do that anymore. And people know that. And it's funny and it's quirky and it's part of my personality. It's what makes me Dominican. It's what makes me Caribbean. It's what makes me, flavorful. And Lord have mercy, didn't this whole thing start because somebody wanted some spices? So, let's just be honest about it, right?
The thing is, I putting myself in your shoes back when you were younger and you were doing the corporate thing,
Yeah.
the problem is, and this is where I think this is really hard and takes a lot of courage, is that there are legitimately people who get fired from jobs for not
Yes.
being a culture fit, when
Yeah.
in reality, it's you don't talk like us,
Right.
right? It's not like I don't uphold the values of the company because I share those values. It's
Right.
you're not an easy fit. You don't fit into this puzzle of homogeny as well as we want it to. So that one's hard because like it does take I hear what you're saying, where it takes a certain level of knowing that you've got your bases covered and that you've earned the security and now you're going to stretch on that.
Yes. But when
I
you don't
do.
feel like you have that, then go look for the safe spaces where you can massage this and work that out, is what I'm saying.
Okay, that's a good clarification because I think that's important. The other thing is too, like good for you, Monica. Because the more that you go out there and you don't code switch, and the more that you speak in more places, the more acceptable that becomes for everybody. So good job. I'm proud of you. Okay. Do we have more? Do we need to share more of our deep, dark secrets? We do.
Well, I have one more, and it feels very dangerous to share it, I have to say, which is why I want to share it because I'm like, I will not be blackmailed by my own mediocrity. God dang it.
Oh, that's good. I will not be blackmailed by my own mediocrity. Okay. We'll each share. So I will share one of my other success blockers. It is selfishness. So I really believe this. There's a quote from a book called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers that says that your weaknesses are your greatest strengths turned up too high. And one of my great strengths is focus. Like I can focus like
Yes, you
nobody's
can.
business.
I can attest to that.
And when my focus gets turned up too high, it manifests as selfishness. And so what will happen, and I catch myself doing this, like I will think of somebody because I need something from them. And then I have to stop myself and go, but what do they need from me? And then I have to reorganize my message. So most of the time, this is like a deep, dirty confession. I've never told you this before.
Okay.
Most of the time when I send people text messages, I rewrite them because the first version is like, this is what I need from you. And then I'm like, oh, wait, pause. I care about this person. What then I have to think about it. Like, what does this person need from me? How can I show up for them? And then I add that first, and then I ask what I need from them. But that self-focusedness, I think, comes across, and it's something that I'm working on and I've been working on to the point where I don't feel, I don't want to feel like a person where people are like, you know, the only reason she's reaching out to you is because she needs something from you.
Right.
It's like a lower energy vibration. So the way that I work around this is, first of all, awareness around it. So I have some little like signature things I look for. Like I'll take stock. How long has it been since I've done something to help this person? How long has it been since I've, you know, like just stopped working to just help my husband with a project around the house? Like I have to kind of take inventory of where I'm at. And then I just have to turn the focus down a couple degrees. I'm like, all right, focus is up too high. Turn the focus down a couple of degrees. And what it allows me to do is take from looking at like this 1 inch in front of me and just expand the vision around me. And then say, okay, now where else can I be directing my focus? Cause yeah, I do think that's been a success blocker for me, is when I start getting going, it's like, it just gets too focused and I get a little self-absorbed.
That's a good one.
I hope I don't show up for you that way very often. I know I do from time to time.
No, it doesn't show up. You know, what's interesting. It doesn't show up as selfish. It shows up as clear. And I think that's a function of trust, right? I think that it's easy to impute a negative connotation to somebody's intentions when there is no trust, or there's little trust, or when trust has been sacrificed. But when there is an abundance of trust, you have positive, generous intention, right? You assume the best of whatever it's coming from.
Well, that's like your gift too. You're always like, I know the intention is fine. The behavior might not be, but the intention is fine. Like that's your gift. So
okay. I'll take it. All right. So my confession is that one of the qualities, one of the characteristics of human achievement that has been really celebrated in the past 100, I'll say 200 years, has been the Lone Ranger thing. But that's for the past 100, 200 years. We humans have been on this planet for thousands of years, if not millions, arguably. And in all of those thousands and tens of hundreds of thousands of years that we've been on this planet, we work in community. We work in relationship, in connection. There is no such thing as a self-made nothing. Everybody had a mama. And so this idea of like, I'm going to do this myself. When I'm stressed, when I feel inadequate, when I feel like I jack something up and I have to go fix it, it's my responsibility to fix it because I'm the one that jacked it up. I go Lone Ranger and I withdraw and I retreat and I avoid calls and texts and stuff like that. And it's because I have been reticent to be vulnerable, to show where I drop the ball, to show where I don't have it together, to show where I don't have answers. This is particularly, I think, insidious in the healing professions. When you are a guide, when you're a healer, when you're a teacher, et cetera, it's like, what? You don't have it together. What? But I think part of the superpower of being a guide, or healer, or teacher is to demonstrate your own humanity. It is a bit of a paradox or a bit of an oxymoron, because it's like, I am guiding someone to a higher level for themselves. They need to see what I did with my mistakes. They need to see how I picked myself up when I fell down. That's useful information. Because if you just have it all together, then you're just kind of like dictating edicts from an ivory tower, and it's completely unrelatable. And now I don't know if you know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, that's so true. It makes you untouchable.
Yeah.
And so people don't want to, they don't want to help because they don't think you need them.
Yep.
And they don't want to ask for help because they feel like you've got it too together to have the time and the space to help.
Right.
So it perpetuates more, like Lone Ranger breeds more Lone Ranger.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not sharing this information with you guys because we just really felt the need to share our greatest weaknesses with the world.
Wasn't because the therapist was on vacation this
Yeah.
week.
It was because we all have success blockers, and some of them we are aware of because we've moved far enough beyond them. But right now, Monica and I today, we both have success blockers that we are not aware of yet, but they're blocking that next level of success. So this process of being open and curious to see what is it that's keeping me from going where I want to go, the only way you can find it is to first start asking yourself the questions and then be in meditation, be in prayer, ask for feedback from the people that you trust. And I find that the path that works best for me to awareness is first of all to look at the situational things that pop up and how I feel about them. So I'll look at it and I'll say, what are all the situations going on that I feel like are frustrating? And I'll list situations and I'll say, now how do I feel about that? And then I look for what lies beyond that. What is the belief beyond that that is creating this as a reoccurring situation in my life that's causing me to feel some kind of way, like angry, frustrated, sad, hurt, betrayed, overwhelmed? And it's that layer beyond that helps me start to see what the success blockers are. Once I know what they are, I truly believe everybody can be successful given the right context. So, what is the context that I need to create so that that is no longer standing in my way? What's the new truth? What's the new story? What's the new support system? And then that's where I focus my energy on is not dealing with the success blocker, but creating the new context that is going to allow me to avoid the success blocker.
That's awesome. I love it. Perfect, perfect.
Awesome. Well, my friends, you have listened to us ramble for another episode, and we hope that our rambling is not just rambling, but that it's actually helpful.
Right, exactly.
That's the goal, right?
Yes.
That our experiences are, we can share them with you, and that will help you to be able to create success even more quickly and easily than we have done ourselves.
Yep.
So thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting the show. We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. Follow us on Instagram. I'm at Amy Walker Coach.
And I'm at Monica Ogando.
And we will see you again for another episode. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.